Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome you in the studio on tonight. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for not giving up. Thank you for pushing through. And I want to just give an apology on behalf of myself and the MCD Network team. Last week we were having some technical difficulties that were beyond our control. And we tried with all of our might to get things up and going, so there was a little distraction. It allowed me to be able to record, but it did not allow my audience, the ones who like to call in and be live in the studio, didn't allow you all to come in. So again, we apologize for that technical difficulties. But again, I'm glad we're here tonight. I tested the systems, and it appears that they are working great, and that I can see the studio is filling up, and that's a good thing, because I'm excited about tonight. I'm excited about the message that the Lord has for us on tonight. Oh my gosh, I'm just really excited, and let's just get ready. So I would tell you all to roll up your sleeves. This is the time to get get your Bibles out, get pen, get some paper so you can take notes. I am going to be going through some scriptures. I am going to be laying foundations. But, wow, I think tonight's word is just going to be powerful, and it's just going to be encouraging for the body, for us to be able to move forward in the things that God has called us to that we've been stagnant in. And I had heard a couple of Sundays ago, I had heard the pastor, I was visiting the church, and I heard the pastor say, just briefly, that emotions are to be experienced but not lived in. And that just kind of marinated in my spirit and for a couple of weeks. And this week, when I was in my devotion time, the Lord just took and began to break it down for me. Now, this is what the Lord gave me out of just that word of emotions are to be lived in. I mean, emotions are to be experienced but not lived in. So we're going to just move forward in our message on tonight. This is going to go a little different than I normally do because I normally present the word, lay the foundation, and then I build from the foundation. But on tonight, I'm going a little bit differently because I want us to understand where we're going and why we're going where we're going. First of all, I need us to know, did you know our soul is made up of the mind, the will, and the emotions? According to biblical scriptures, this can best represent the human psyche through our mind as a man thinks, our will as a man does or wants, and our emotions as a man feels. Our psyche and our soul are interconnected, but God, Elohim, is the driving force. We are spirits, we have a soul, and we live in a body. Amen. So tonight, we're going to take an emotional roller coaster. We're going to take an emotional roller coaster through the journey of Jesus. We will focus on three events that depict Jesus' emotional experiences. We will learn through this journey that emotions are to be experienced and not lived in. It was never God's intention for us to dwell in the past. When we live in emotions, we are in essence holding on to the past in the now. And we serve a now God. On Wednesday, I was in my worship time, and I was crying out before the Lord, and I became so emotional, and I was crying out before the Lord, and I could just remember just thinking and being so sorrowful that I disappointed him many times throughout this Christian walk. I just felt like I disappointed him. And so in my worship time, I was crying out before the Lord and just telling him that I'm sorry that I've disappointed him. And all of a sudden, I heard the Spirit of God say, Denise, my disappointment is only an experience. Thus, go and sin no more. And then it reminded me as he began to heal the people throughout the course of the new covenant or the second covenant, as he healed people, he would heal them and he would always tell them, go and sin no more. And so I believe that tonight God wants us to know that this is truth, that our emotions are to be experienced and not lived in. And so we're going to find out tonight as we go through these series and go through these various events that I'm going to go through that many of us are living in emotions and thus we are still angry. We are still bitter. We are still, unforgiving about situations. We're still living in emotions of stuff that happened. We're 60, 70, 50, 40 years old, and we're still living in emotions of things that happened to us when we were 3 or when we were 7. We're living in it. We don't know how to just say, hey, that was just an experience. And I believe that that's what God is saying to us. You know, when we think about stuff, when we hold on to stuff, such as I was doing on Wednesday, I was holding on to this. I was sorrowful that I had disappointed him, that I didn't always do what I was supposed to do when I was supposed to do it, you know. And he told me it was only an experience. It was just that disappointment for him was just an experience. Go and just go and sin no more, amen. So let's get to event number one. And before we go into event number one, I just want to pause for a moment of prayer. Father God, we thank you on tonight. Lord, you are invited in the studio. Lord, have your way as only you can. We thank you for the word that will go forth on tonight. Lord, we pray that it will penetrate the hearts of your people. Lord, we pray that it will just be transformational, that we will be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Lord, that we would no longer live in negative emotions, but Father God, that we would just experience and then go on to the next. So Lord, we just thank you. Lord, I submit myself completely to you to be used by you as a willing vessel. No longer I that live, but Christ that lives inside of me, Father. Not my will, but thy will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So let's go ahead and get started. I'm excited again. If you need to get pens and paper, I think it's good. It's always good to take notes, if nothing more than to reflect back on what you heard, whether it's Sunday at church or small groups during the week or Bible study, whatever it is, you want to make sure that you're taking notes so you could go back and study to show your own self-approved, not going by what you heard or what you thought you heard, but going doing your own self-study. So we're going to start. I told you I'm going to take you three places, three events tonight, three events. The first event, as I refer to event number one, we're going to go to Matthew. That's in the Second Covenant, New Testament for many. Matthew, we're going to go to chapter 21. If you would turn with me to chapter 21, verse 12, and I'm going to read 12 through 14. I'm in the King James Version. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and brought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. What I found so amazing about Matthew, the 21st chapter, verses 12 through 14, we've heard this story a lot of times during our walk about Jesus getting mad about them mishandling the house of the Lord, you know. And we think, okay, they were in there selling and they were commercing, you know, in the church and, you know, that's what he got mad about. But it went a little deeper than that. So I'm not going to even get into why it went deeper because that's not the message on tonight. The message on tonight is that we've seen that Jesus here, he displayed an emotion of anger. He did not become an expert in anger, but he experienced it and went back to hand without allowing the experience to dictate his assignment or his destiny. Many of us are experiencing our emotions, whether we are living in them. Are not experiencing our emotions, and we are living in them, becoming experts in the emotions of anger, bitterness, pain, regret, worry, fear, doubt, whatever other negative emotion. We're becoming experts because we're living in them. And because we're living in these emotions, we are often aborting or abandoning our assignment and our destiny. As we see here, Jesus was not at the temple to overthrow the tables. He had an emotional moment. He had an experience of anger. He was angry about what they were doing in his father's house. He experienced the anger, and guess what? Immediately, he went back to the business at hand. He went back to praying for and healing the lame and the blind. He did not allow his anger to take him out of his purpose. He didn't allow his anger to stop him from doing what God had called him to do and what he was there to do. And we allow some of us allow our emotions to take us to the place where I ain't going back to that church no more. They made me mad, or they embarrassed me, or they hurt my feelings. Those are all emotions. But we will live in those emotions. And you hear this term that people use, talking about church hurt. Because somebody went to church, they hurt their feelings, and now they don't want to go to nobody's church no more. Because nobody church in the whole world is good enough because of what one church did. And normally it's not even the church that did it. It's somebody that went to the church. Amen? So, again, we're not supposed to live in those emotions. Experience it. Let it be an experience. I experienced it. Oops, that hurt. Ah, that felt good, whatever it is. And then move on to the next. Amen? Event number two. We're going to turn. Now, keep a bookmark in Matthew because we're coming back to Matthew. But right now, I want you to travel with me. We want to go over to John. We want to go over to the Gospel of John, and we want to go to the 11th chapter. The 11th chapter, and I'm going to read verses 32 through 40. John, the 11th chapter, verses 32 through 40. Remember, this is event number two. I don't even think tonight's message is going to take long, but I think it's going to be short, powerful, and impactful. Amen? So let's go. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man open the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone laid upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone, Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wilt believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Another powerful example. Jesus showed in this instance, he wept. He was sorrowful. He was sad. He just lost his friend, Lazarus. Jesus was good friends with Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. The Bible even says that he loved them. And I think this was a brotherly. It wasn't just the agape, unconditional love, but he loved them. It was the brotherly love, the philos. They were his friends, and he loved them. He cared about them, right? But he wept. But if you know the story, the front end of this story is while Jesus was out being about his father's business, while he was out being about his father's business, they had got message to Jesus, and this was before Lazarus had died, right? But Jesus had to continue being about his father's business. And in essence, him not showing up right then, Lazarus died, and now it had been 4 days. And we all know what a dead body would do in 4 days. Like his sister said, it stinks. But Jesus was sorrowful. There are some dead situations or some situations that are causing death that some of us are experiencing right now. And because we are choosing to live in the emotions of it, it is causing us to believe that Jesus is now willing to turn it around. We are weary. We are worried. Why haven't he showed up yet? Lord, why am I still struggling? Why have my situation not changed yet? And it brought me to a story because I'm too, like Martha and Mary. Why did you come? Why weren't you here? If you only would have showed up, this could have changed. That could have changed. Because we know he's able, right? We know that God is able. But oftentimes our concern is it's unwilling to change our circumstances. And a lot of times why we worry so much is because a lot of us are in circumstances that we created ourselves based on our decisions and our choices. Oftentimes, based on our emotions, we have made emotional decisions that have got us into situations and circumstances, and then we go to God, and we expect him to turn it around. And guess what? On many occasions, he has, turned it around just like that. And on some occasions, we've had to wait. Amen. I'm not saying everybody's situations and circumstances was something that was beyond their control. But oftentimes, if we be honest with ourselves and others, a lot of times it was decisions that we made that put us in the situation that we're in. Amen. So we often wonder, you know, where you at? You know, Lord, why haven't you showed up yet? And then it reminded me of a story. John the Baptist, he was the forerunner for the arrival of the Messiah. And also he was a family member. He was a distant cousin while in prison for preaching. And he was in prison. Why? For preaching the gospel. Now, I want you to imagine this with me, if you will. John is the forerunner. He was here before Jesus. He was out in the wilderness, and he was baptizing people. He was preparing people for the arrival of the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Now, he's out here preaching the gospel. And even after Jesus was born, and now Jesus was getting ready to start his ministry, he had to come to John to be baptized. But imagine this. I'm out here doing all this. This is going to minister to somebody. I'm out here doing all this work for the Messiah, for Jesus. I'm out here baptizing. I'm out here preaching the gospel. I'm out here doing all of this, right? But now I go to jail for preaching the gospel, and I'm sitting up in jail. Not only am I in jail for preaching the gospel, but not only do I know that this Messiah is the Son of the living God, who could at any moment change any circumstance in a second. He's also my cousin. He's also a relative. Now, I'm sitting in jail for preaching the gospel, and yet he hasn't come to my aid. He hasn't come to change my situation. He hasn't come to change my circumstances. So John, I would say in all fairness, he sends out a message to Jesus saying, art thou he, or should we look for another? In other words, don't you know my predicament? If you are the Messiah, why haven't you done anything to help me out? Oh, but God, I came to tell you tonight that God says, I will get the glory. Hallelujah. God has to make sure that you know that only he can turn this mess into a message, this test into a testimony, this pain into a praise, and this no into a yes. The same God that raised Lazarus surely can handle what you are going through. Surely he can handle what you are going through. But it's not in our time. It's in his time. It's his will be done and not ours. Because oftentimes we're trying to navigate how God or when God is supposed to move. But God is going to move according to how God is going to move. Why? Because he's the all-knowing. He knows what's ahead, and he knows what's behind. He knows exactly what he's doing. And when God allows us to get in situations, not situations that he caused, because a lot of times the enemy wants us to think that while we're going through something, it's because God is punishing us. You know, that God is punishing you because you didn't do this or you didn't do that. And that couldn't be further from the truth. God has allowed certain situations and circumstances to take place because God also needs us to learn in them and to grow in them. Because, you know, you understand, I mean, I think it was, don't quote me if I'm wrong, but it was a fruit. I can't remember the fruit. They used to talk about joy, pain, I'm not going to say it, like sunshine, like rain. In other words, you got to experience the rain in order to enjoy, to embrace the sunshine. You got to experience pain in order to experience joy. I mean, it's opposing factors, and every day is not going to be sunshine. The Word of God says He rains on the just and the unjust. So we're going to experience those things, and He allows us to experience, because if everything was always good, and we know it, come on now, we know it. Many of us have been living good lives. Many of us have experienced many blessings of the Lord. Many of us have been very successful in our careers and various things. And some of us have been so successful in these busy, blessed lives that we're too busy to go to church on Sunday morning. Why? Because either we're working even more because we have to, or because we're too tired. Sunday is your only day. You got the rest, but you won't get up and go into the house of the Lord, you know, to fellowship. You know, yeah, I can give God the glory at home. Yes, you can give God the glory at home, but the Word of God tells us to not forsake the assembly. He wants us to fellowship. We need to be around like-minded believers. Amen? And some of us, if the truth be told, the only thing that we're doing for the kingdom is when we go to church and pay our tithes and offerings. We're not doing nothing else. We're not doing our own ministry. We're not getting out there ourselves. We're not out there feeding the homeless. We're not out there clothing people. We're not out there providing shelter. So the only time that we're really doing something for the kingdom of God is when we go to church and pay our tithes and offerings. And many are complaining about that. And many are complaining about that. So he wants us to get out and, you know, and fellowship. So we want to be grateful. And sometimes, again, we get busy in life and we put God on the back burner. And that should not be. It should be a continuous praise in our mouth. We should continuously be wanting to thank him for all the blessings that we have. And sometimes, guess what? He got to shake us up. Because if he don't shake us up, he knows we won't wake up. So he has to remind us. He has to shake us up and say, hey, I'm trying to get your attention. Hey, I need to spend some time with you. Hey, I need you to be still. Hey, let's have a conversation. No different. If you were in a marriage, ladies, and your husband, he works all day. He come home, he eat, he go to sleep. No romance, no intimacy, no nothing. You will start feeling some kind of way. Men, if you were going to work and you came home and you couldn't even get a hot meal from your wife, you know, you would feel some kind of way. And guess what? God feels the same. We feel that way even with our children. Our children get to a certain age called the teen life. They ain't got time for their parents no more. They're not trying to hang out with you. They have their peers that they're hanging out with, their peers that they want to be with. And we as parents feel some kind of way. We begin to start feeling neglected and unappreciated. But guess what? Don't you think, why would a God without emotion create people that's emotional? Why would he give us a soul if he wasn't emotional? He created us in his image. So part of his image has to be the soul. Right? Amen? So he wants us to spend time with him. He wants to feel appreciated. He wants to get the glory, the honor. The word of God, not Coach D, said he's a jealous God. So he wants our attention, amen? And he needs our attention. So we're going to get down to, I told you it's not going to take long. Let's go over here now to the last of the three events that we will encounter on tonight. So we're going to go back to Matthew. Remember I told you to put a bookmark in Matthew. We're going to go back to Matthew on tonight. And we're going to go to Matthew chapter 26. And I'm going to read verses 36 through 46. Matthew chapter 26, verse 36 through 46. Hang in there with me. If it hasn't blessed you yet, I believe that there's a message for each and every person that's listening in on tonight. It's just a reminder. It's an encouragement that some of us is, ooh, we've been stuck. We've been stuck. Amen. So Matthew 26, starting with verse 36. Then cometh Jesus them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here, why I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Powerful. I often say that happiness is overrated. Many want to live in happiness, yet happiness is an experience. I don't care who you ask, even for singles. I think about singles and being a single myself. And you ask people, what do you want? I mean, what are you looking for? And oftentimes people say, I just want to be happy. And that's so sad that people just want to be happy, because happiness is fleeing. You know, I'm happy right now, but all it takes is a second for something to happen, and I'm no longer happy. See, happiness is fleeing. It's temporal. And so for us to only just want to be happy, we're missing the whole experience of living life, because happiness is fleeing, and we want to live in happiness, and guess what? We never are happy. We never get to that place that we think we're supposed to be, because society has dictated that, oh, you need to be happy, and if you buy this, it's going to make you happy, and if you get a wife, it's going to make you happy, and if you get a six-figure job, it's going to make you happy, and if you get the Benz, it's going to make you happy, and if you get if you get the bill, it's going to make you happy, and if you get a husband, is going to make you happy. And if you have kids, all these things are supposed to make us happy. And we get them, and yeah, we're happy for that second, and then we're not happy no more. I was talking with my sister, and we were talking about cars and stuff. And I said, for the first time ever in my life, because I used to change cars every 2 years, because I wanted a new car, I wanted a new style, I wanted a new venture. So every 2 to 3, matter of fact, I wouldn't even purchase a car because I knew that every 2 to 3 years I was going to want a new car, so I leased. And every 2 to 3 years I'm getting me something new, the newest of the newest, and whatever. But then I got to a point in life with my last car, I purchased it, and I paid it off. I paid it off in 2 years. And I paid it off, and I haven't had a car note since 2015. Amen. And I tell you what, I enjoy not having a car note since 2015. It is money that could have been spent better elsewhere. And even though my little poor car got scratches and dents and just different things, right, because it's old. It's a 2013. But it still drives good. It still gets me from point A to point B. And I wouldn't call it necessarily a bucket, because it's a nice-looking car. And maybe one day I'll take $1,000 and get it repainted and get some of the dents knocked out. And guess what? It'll look just like a baby Ben or baby Bentley. Amen? So anyway, I'm saying all this to say we're always looking for something that's going to make us happy. And we've been convinced that that's going to happen. And if you really think back over your life and think about all the stuff you thought was going to make, that was going to make you happy. And now when I say make you happy, yeah, it made you happy in the moment. But we're looking for stuff because we're thinking this stuff is going to make us happy for life. That it's on, if I only get, my life would be so much better. And when we sit back and look about the things, I think about, now I think about a new car, And it's not a desire for me per se, and I'm not knocking people that want to get a new car, but I think about a new car right now, and I know after I drive that car for a month, it's just going to be another car. It's just going to be another car, and now I'm going to have a car note. I'm going to have a car note, and then 6 months down the line, when I think that I'm going to have another 4 years to pay off this car, I'm going to be sick. Amen. So happiness is fleeing, and it should only be an experience, but it's not to be lived in. It's temporary, and then it's not until it's not. It's, you know, happiness is there until it's not. And when we think that we're not happy, then now we think something is wrong. Everything's wrong. Something's wrong with my marriage. I'm ready for a divorce. Something's wrong with my kids. I'm ready to kick them out the house. Something's wrong with my job. I'm sorry, something's wrong with my child. Something's wrong with my job. I'm ready to change jobs. I'm ready. So when we're not happy, we automatically think something's wrong, and now we want to take action. When in reality, there's nothing wrong. Nothing wrong at all. It was an experience. Now move on to the next experience. By all means, do not dwell in it. Because when we dwell in the fact that we think we're no longer happy, now that's going to create other emotions. It's going to create the emotion of depression, sadness, and all these other emotions, right? But I enjoyed it while it lasted. Move on to the next. Do not dwell in it. And when we're talking about the dwelling thing, you know, there's a 10,000-hour rule. And it says that experience alone doesn't lead to expertise. I'm going to repeat that. Experience alone does not lead to expertise. This 10,000-hour rule suggests that mastery comes from practicing something for 10,000 hours. But mindless practice, meaning not giving it any thought, isn't a path to expertise. Instead, deliberate practice is necessary for mastery. One must dwell to become an expert. Dwelling is deliberate. It is to be fully present in a place or with a person. Just because I'm an experienced cooker does not make me an expert. So saying this to say is that, yeah, if you're trying to master something, great, because you're going to have to dwell in it to become, or you're trying to be an expert, you're going to have to dwell in it, saying this. So the point I'm making here is you don't want to become an expert in emotion, and many of us are. We're expert in emotion. We didn't dwell in that thing. I'm mad. He stole my boyfriend when I was 7. I'm mad. I'll never trust her again. He did this, and I'm mad. I'm angry. And we dwelling in that thing. You got to dwell in it. It said 10,000 hours to become an expert. And many of us got way more than 10,000 hours on an emotion that's not serving us any purpose, that's got us stuck. Woo! I got to say this, and Lord, no, I don't want to, but I got to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. When I was a little girl, I'm going to share a personal story. When I was a little girl, my family had a home, and behind their home was a big field. They were still building, you know, but it was a big field. And we would go in that field, and we would catch tadpoles or baby frogs. And we would catch tadpoles and baby frogs. I mean, I was picking them up with my hands, right? No fear whatsoever. And I would pick them up with my hands, and we would be in that field all day long playing for hours. Forward. My parents take me and my siblings on a camping trip. And at these camping trips, these campsites that's built for family and children, at night they would have an amphitheater where they might have a tally show or something going on, and the families would walk through with their little lanterns and flashlights through the woods to go to the amphitheater and watch these shows, and then walk back to your camper or your tent. And I'm walking back on this evening. I had to be about 11 years old, 10 or 11 years old. And these boys, group of boys came up to me and they said, are you scared of frogs? And even at a young age, my mind, I was a thinker, I'm a thinker. Even at a young age, I knew something was going on. I didn't know what. I was not prepared for what was going to take place. So I told them, no, I'm not afraid of frogs. And these boys threw a bunch of frogs on me. I mean, they just threw a bunch of frogs on me. And I'm screaming, trying to get frogs out of my hair. And, oh, my God, it traumatized me. Traumatized me. Fear set in. Now I was 11 years old. I'm going to say 10 for count's sake. 50 years later, if I walk to my front door and there's a frog at my front door, I will run and scream and tap and figure out. I will get back in my car and drive all the way 4 blocks over to a family member's house and sit until my son or somebody come home that could move that frog. See, I've been living in the emotion of fear based on a trauma that happened 50 years ago. Now, because I'm speaking it now, guess what? It's a mandate that I'm going to have to overcome the fear of frogs simply because I'm putting it out there. I spoke it, and that's the thing about being obedient to God. Sometimes we don't want to be obedient to God because we don't want to be held accountable. And when God teaches us stuff and he shows us stuff, then he's holding us accountable. He holds us accountable for what we know. And many of people don't want to know. They don't want to hear about the Bible. They don't want to listen to what the Bible says. Why? Because there's a mechanism that was when we were created, that was created inside of us, that we have a natural instinct to know wrong from right. And so there's a mechanism in us that knows that once I know the truth, or once I know, I'm going to be accountable for that. Tonight, you're knowing. You are knowing that you can no longer live in emotion. You got to experience it and move on to the next. You cannot become an expert, and you cannot dwell in it, that you have to be fully, you can't. The emotions that we have about what we are going through are often way more powerful than the actual event. And I thought when I was hearing this, because this is the Holy Spirit speaking, when I was hearing this, I was like, that's just something. Coach D, you're doing good. That's just something you're saying. And then God took me to the research. And research reveals that emotions constitute potent, predictable, sometimes harmful, sometimes beneficial drivers of decision making. We have often heard that we may not have the power to change a situation, but we have the power to change how we view the situation. Kind of goes back to that old saying, do you see the glass is half full or half empty? Same glass, same amount of water, but different perception. Same thing. So our emotions will dictate, they drive our decision making. And if we're not functioning in the right emotion, then we could be not making the right decisions. Matter of fact, emotions will have us paralyzed to make any decision. How many of us have not completed a dream, vision, idea, or are not walking in our purpose, the purpose that God called you to? And you'll hear excuses like, well, I'm not quite sure what my purpose is, or I just need to get my life together first. You know, some things I need to fix. And guess what? What if I told you that those things you think you need to fix, you can't fix them without them? So you're trying to overcome. You're trying to deliver yourself from some stuff that only God could deliver you from. He's never asked us. You know, I hear people say, when he said come as you are, people want to talk about that means wearing Daisy Duke to church on Sunday. That's not what come as you are means. Come as you are means come in where you at in life. Where are you at in life? You still smoking weed? You still drinking? You still doing stuff? You don't want to do that stuff no more? there's no better place to come to, than to come to Christ for him to help you get delivered from those things that are not pleasing to him. You can't do it on your own. You don't have no motivation to. I mean, if some of us get sick, we do some stuff, get sick, and that might be, you know, that's shock. You know, we change behavior three different ways. We change it through prayer, you know, prayer and speaking in tongues, or through shock, you know, and like what we do our kids when they're behaving in a certain way that's going to harm them. The spanking was the shock. It wasn't to beat them, but it was supposed to give them that initial shock to shock them back into, okay, I better not do that. And I believe that God does that with us. A lot of times when we experience certain things that he allowed to happen, it's almost like his way of saying, hey, I done told you, don't do that. Stop. Red light. So he got to get our attention. So he got to sometimes come in again and shake stuff up to get our attention. So we're not walking in the purpose because we allowed an emotion to be a stumbling block. Had Jesus not recognized that his emotion of sorrow was merely an experience, none of us would be eligible for eternal life right now. His sole purpose for coming to this earth would not have been fulfilled. Perhaps many of us are not accomplishing our purpose because our emotions will not allow us to die for what we believe or desire. Jesus' purpose took him to the cross, while many of us will not even cross the street to fulfill our purpose. Bow your head. Father God, what an amazing word. We thank you for your word, Father. But, Father, more importantly, we thank you for the revelation of your word. Father God, help us not to be slaves to our emotions. Father, help us to experience and move on to the next. Father, that we will have the courage and the willpower to those dreams and visions and ideas that you have dropped down in us. Father God, for many of us are pregnant. And Father God, that we need to give birth to these things, Father, for the edifying of your kingdom. So, Father, we just thank you for this word. We thank you that this word will penetrate our hearts, that it will cause us to reflect, that it will cause us to look back, Father God. But, Father God, not to go back, but to move forward, Father, in the things that you have called us to. Lord, that we will walk in the purpose that you have placed us here for. So, Lord, I just say thank you. Father, I pray that you will get the glory. Father, for you are worthy of the honor and you are worthy of the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. I don't know, just such a powerful word on tonight. It blessed me. It blessed me first, and I pray that it's blessed you, that we won't no longer have to just live in the pain of our emotions, you know, that we could just experience it and move on. Just think, you know, many of us do, you know, at different moments. You think about people who fell in love and got hurt in the process of falling in love and was able at some point to move on to the next, you know, move on to the next relationship, move on to the next venture. You know, thank God for that they were able to do that. But many people are still stuck. You got people that are single. They've been divorced for 30 years. But because they were hurt, they can't move forward. So I thank God for this message. And I just pray, like I said, that it's a blessing. I want to take a moment because we do have a couple more minutes left. Hallelujah. We got about 10 minutes left. But I just want to take a moment because oftentimes I'll do the show and then I'll close out the show. And then I'll get people say, man, why you didn't open up the floor? I want to say what I thought or how, you know, what I got out of it. So I will like to give an opportunity for anyone that's listening in. If you have a comment or a question about what was titled tonight, please feel free to dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or a comment about tonight's show. Again, you could dial 1 on your dial pad, and that'll let our team know that you have a question or a comment about tonight's show. I'm not going to dwell on this long. I'm going to just give a few seconds or a couple of minutes for anyone that may decide that they want to ask a question. If not, that's great, too. I'm so glad that you all joined us on tonight. And I'm, again, hoping that you got the message. Okay, we do have someone. Area code 623, last four, 0114. You are live on Processing the Pain.
Okay, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, hello, hello. That message, that message really blessed me because the thing about it, I was just sitting here and I had some stuff, you know, I had to go and do for my mom, but I was like running back to just really get it all in. And I took some notes, but I really believe this is where so many people are as believers in the body of Christ. And, you know, it's one of them things that we're having this conversation and, you know, many have been in God for years, you know, some been left and many have been in God for a long time. But I think ultimately what you said was really the main thing, and we can just take that and go from there, is that I know for me and what God had been dealing with me a couple of years ago about my emotion and feelings, and it's not that they're not true and they're not real, but God is not moved by our emotion and feelings. He's moved by our faith. So we're operating, and, you know, I'm reminding myself with the season I'm in and what I'm dealing with, you know, with my mom and just in my life, and even today I had a little situation. I had to just stop and, you know, pause and realize that as long as I'm living, life is going life, and these things are coming, but how am I going to respond? You know, every time something happened and it's not the way I wanted, and like, and one of the biggest things, what you said, is timing, because our timing is definitely not God's timing. And when we can understand that we want it now and we believe, you know, we've been seeking God, and God, I've been obeying and I've been doing everything you said, and, you know, man, I've been in this thing 9 years and 2 years and 5 years. The reality is it's not going to happen until God wants it to manifest. So what am I going to do while I'm waiting? Like, literally, that's what I'm telling myself. If this thing is not going to happen even maybe in 2 years, but I know God said it because it's going back to what God said. So if I'm in God's word and his promises are yes and amen, I know this thing got to come to pass. But in the meantime, how am I responding? Am I going to keep complaining? Am I going to keep saying, wow, my wilderness, you know, man, I'm showing the valley. You know, they say don't fear, no eat. You know, all these things that we know the word of God says, but it really has to be, do you really believe what you're saying? Because we can easily throw out these scriptures and say, I'm casting my cares tonight, and, you know, God is not a, you know, all this stuff. He's not a man that can lie. And we know this because this is his word. See, his word doesn't change. We do. But we got to just get to a place where when life happens and things are happening, it don't always mean you've done something wrong. It's not always that you're out of obedience. But you're just going to have to go through. But how am I going to respond while going through? Because I had got a revelation. I'm going to just say this real quick so I don't take up a lot of time. Earlier with my mom, like, I already know she's a miracle. But it was something so easy that God said earlier. He said, what did I say? He said, I sent you to go do the work. You planted the seed. You were the intercessor. And the next part of her miracle that's going to manifest has to come from her. So, you know, if I sent you to go do that, you know, the person or anybody can't just expect that this thing is going to birth because, you know, you prayed about it and all that. This last part of this miracle that we're believing God for, now you got to believe, and then it takes your faith to make it happen. So, you know, a lot of times when we're sitting here believing God and waiting for something, and sometimes we, you know, get the first part of it and we're waiting for the full manifestation, it's like, what am I doing? And so when you were saying how, you know, because I'm talking to people all the time and everybody seems to be saying, you know, at the same place in their life where they're saying the same thing, is that, well, you know, I'm obeying, I'm tithing, I'm, you know, giving. I mean, I'm really, you know, I'm really doing what, you know, God called me to do. But if you can really go back and check yourself, can you really check all your dots, you know, your I's, dot your I's and your T's? Because there's something that we can all say, well, you know what, no, I'm really not believing in this area. You know, I'm speaking it good and I'm quoting these scriptures, but I'm really not walking this thing out. So I just wanted to just piggyback on that, where when I'm looking at my life and areas that I was in, you know, a season of, you know, a dry place or a valley or, a low valley experience or whatever the case may be, it's the fact that I had to realize, okay, God is not bringing me out right now. So while I'm waiting, you know what? I'm going to bring my worship to another level. I'm going to bring my praise to another level. I'm going to do what God called me to do it. And guess what? I'm going to come out of this thing. I may not be today and it may not be tomorrow. But at the end of the day, what am I getting? See, because we got to be learning something. We can't keep going through the same thing and not getting nothing out of it. Like, because I tell myself, I'm tired of it. I know we all got to be at that place where you literally tell yourself, didn't I just go through this 2 years ago? And it's not to say you're not going to go through it again, but what did I take out of it and what did I learn and what did this word say so when I go through it again, I'm more equipped. But guess what? I'm not going to stay in this wilderness 12 years this time. You know what I mean? I'm going to come out a lot sooner because I'm a lot more equipped.
I hate to stop you, but I want to make sure that this show is going to, we got a certain time, so it's going to shut out. Some great things. And,
we could go on and on, but okay.
So, Deb, I appreciate you and thank you for sharing that because that's true. What are you going to do? How are we going to respond when things are not going according to plan? The sister just called in. Definitely some good nuggets. And, what are we going to do? You know, what emotions are we going to be willing to not continue to live in the emotions of it all? And really just, begin to just trust, to have the experience and trust God. And the point of tonight's message, the bigger point of it is this, that we, that Jesus himself, which was God in the flesh, he showed emotions, and even in the emotions, it did not stop him. It did not stop him from what his purpose was. It did not stop him from his kingdom assignment. And so this was to encourage encourage myself as well as others. Don't allow what you're going through to cause you to not continue to fulfill your kingdom assignment. Don't cause what you're going through to allow you to become paralyzed and shut down to the purpose that you're supposed you were intended for. So with that being said, I wanted to say thank you to each and every one of you who tuned in tonight to this episode of Processing the Pain. Know that you are truly, truly loved and appreciated. I'll look forward to being with you next Thursday. And again, have a great week. Good night. I do.